Welcome back to the OU Shnei Mikra series and our study of Parshat Vayetze. This is Menachem Liptag, and in today's share we study the first Aliyah, beginning in Perach Chet Pasuk Yud, chapter 28, verse 10. In today's share we're going to focus on how the topic of the Beit HaMikdash relates not only to this Aliyah, but to the theme that develops in the book of Bereshit. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva vayelech Harana. Yaakov leaves from Be'er Sheva and begins on his journey to Haran, where he's not only running away from Esav, but also being sent by his parents to look for a wife. At the simplest level, Chumash tells us that Yaakov left from Be'er Sheva because that's the city that he was living in. However, the city of Be'er Sheva has very much thematic importance when we discuss the story of our forefathers. In the end of chapter 21, we already heard that Avram Avinu planted an Esher in Be'er Sheva, and there he called out in God's name. We also found back in chapter 26 that after Yitzchak had solved his quarrels with the Plishtim, he moved on to Be'er Sheva. In Pasach of Gimel, in verse 23, Vayal Misham Be'er Sheva, he left the area of Grar and went up to Be'er Sheva. And there God appeared to him, Vayirai Lav Adonai Balailahu. God appeared to Yitzchak that evening, Vayomer Anochi Elohei Avraham Avicha. I'm God, the God of Avram your father. Al tirai ki itcha Anochi, don't worry because I'll be with you. Uverachticha birbeiti etzaracha bavor Avraham Avdi. I'm going to bless you and increase your offspring for the sake of Avram, my servant. God is going to say something very similar now to Yaakov when he first appears to him in Betel. But listen carefully now to Perach Chavav Pasach Chafei. Vayiven Shem Mizbeach. Yitzchak builds in Be'er Sheva and Mizbeach. Vayikra b'shem Adonai. There Yitzchak called out in God's name. And this is the first time and primary time where we found about Yitzchak calling out in God's name, the same thing that Avram Avinu had done. Vayet Shema Olo, and he moved his tent there. And that became the central place where Yitzchak lives his life. Later on, at the end of chapter 26, Yitzchak arrives at a treaty with Avimelech. And the theme of the Beit HaMikdash begins right there in Pasach Chavchet, where Avimelech tells Yitzchak, Vayomru, Ra'or ra'inu ki ayah Adonai imach. Behold, we have seen that God has been with you. V'nomer tina ala benotenu uveneinu venecha. We should have a treaty between us and between you and between your children. V'nichruta brit imach. Let's make a covenant with you. This idea that the other nations come and see the success of Am Yisrael, want to make a treaty with us, and we become a source of inspiration for their behavior, that's going to be one of the major themes and the purpose of the Beit HaMikdash as it develops in the book of Dvarim and later on in the book of Malachim. In our study of Sefer Bereshit, we see that both Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak spent most of the time making a name for God, and that endeavor was usually referred to as building an altar to God and calling out in His name. Avram does it when he first makes Aliyah to Beit El. There he builds a Mizbech and calls out in God's name. He does it again when he returns from Egypt. We also saw the Eshel that Avram planted in Be'er Sheva, and now we see the behavior of Yitzchak in Be'er Sheva. Therefore, when Chumash tells us that Yaakov is leaving Be'er Sheva, it's not only the physical location that he's leaving, but he's also leaving what our forefathers were all about. He's leaving the life of Avram and Yitzchak of making a name for God and departing on a journey where he's going to be unable to fulfill that goal. Keep this in mind as we study Yaakov's vow that he's going to make, because it's going to explain the logic behind his promise and his conditions. Let's continue now with Pasuk Bet. Vayevga b'makom, he happens upon this place. Vayelad sham ki b'ha shemesh, he lies down there because the sun was setting, it was getting late. Vaykach me'avnei makom, he took from the stones of that place, he put them under his head, and he lies down on that place. Here again appears to be a very innocent pasuk, but yet Chazal and the Midrash find many references here to the Beit HaMikdash, and even though it doesn't seem to be the pshat of the pasuk, it's not the simple meaning of the verse, I'd like to claim that pshuto shel Torah is definitely the simple meaning of what's going on in Chumash. Let's explain why. The word vayivga b'makom simply means he bumped into the place. In Sefer Yeshua, when one border changes direction and bumps into a certain place, we always have the word upagah gvul. To hit someone, even to cause damage, is also called a pgiyah. Even in modern Hebrew, the word pgiyah means to bump into someone, sometimes even causing damage. However, in the book of Tehillim, in the book of Yirmiyahu, the word lifgoa can also mean to turn to God in prayer. Rashi brings down this quote from Sefer Yirmiyahu and explains how Chazal learned from here that at this spot and at this time, Yaakov established the Tfilat Avet, the evening prayer. We're going to see that this is only one of many references to the site of the Beit HaMikdash that's going to develop from this place. And the key hint to this concept is the word Makom, which is repeated no less than three times in this Pasuk. Vayivga b'makom, he bumps into this place. Vayikach mi'avnei makom, he takes from the stones of this place. Vayishka b'makom ahu, and he lies down in this place. This constant repetition of the word Makom may be hinting to the concept of HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem L'Shakem Shmo Sham, the place that God is going to choose for His name and reputation to rest there, which will be the name of the Beit HaMikdash in the Book of Devarim. Because the Beit HaMikdash, HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, its primary purpose will be a place to pray to God and make His name known, it makes a lot of sense why Chazal identify this Pgiya, not simply meeting the place, but also praying in this place. It explains why they identify this place as where Yaakov began the prayer service of Arvit, and also explains why we emphasize that Yaakov left Beersheba, and on his way to Haran, God appears to him specifically right here. There's also a beautiful midrash about these stones that Yaakov gathers. One midrash claims that these are the stones from the altar that Avram Avinu built for Yitzchak before the Akedah. Others claim that this will be the site of the Evan Ashtiyah, the stone which will be at the center of the Kodesh Kodeshim. Even though the simple meaning of the word is that Yaakov simply put some stones together to protect his head, at the simplest level, is not that he took a stone and used it as a pillow, but rather he took a set of stones and guarded his head by placing them around him. If you look at the commentaries on this pasuk, you'll see all these different opinions. Pasuk Yud Bet, Vayachalom, Yaakov now has a dream. V'nei sulam mutzav arza. Behold, he sees a ladder, that the bottom of the ladder is set in the ground on earth. V'rosho magi ha-shamayma. And the head of the ladder is up all the way in heaven. V'nei malachei Elohim. And behold, the angels of God, Olim v'yordim bo, are going up and down this ladder. This is Yaakov's vision. Very soon, God is going to appear to him and talk to him. But remember this vision, because this vision is going to affect Yaakov's reaction to his dream. V'nei Adonai nitzav alav, v'yomar. Behold, in this dream, God now appears to him and identifies himself as follows. Ani Adonai, I'm Hashem, Elohei Avraham Avicha, the God of Avram your father, v'Elohei Yitzchak, and also the God of Yitzchak. Very similar to the way that God appeared to Yitzchak in Beersheba. Ha'aretz asher ata shochev aleha, the land that you're lying on, lecha etnena ulezarecha. I'm going to give it to you and to your offspring. Even though God had promised Avram Avinu that he would be the forefather of this nation, we saw in Sefer Bereshit that not all of Avram's children were chosen. Only Yitzchak was going to be the chosen son. And from all the children of Yitzchak, even though God first told him that all of his children would be chosen, now we find out that only Yaakov is chosen to the exclusion of Esav. This theme of Bechira in Sefer Bereshit will be a key one, which we're going to follow throughout our shir. However, what we need to point out at this time is the importance of this Hitkalut, the importance of this revelation, is that now God determines once and for all that Yaakov is the only chosen son to the exclusion of Esav, and even though he's leaving the land of Israel, he will be the offspring of Yitzchak that will continue this tradition. This is very problematic for Yaakov, because his father Yitzchak, when he became the chosen son, God told him that in a time of famine, he was not allowed to leave the land. We saw that in the beginning of chapter 26. And usually leaving the land of Israel was a sign that you were unchosen. The fact that Yaakov is chosen even though he's leaving the land of Israel will provide the thematic background to understand what happens now in the next set of psukim. Pasuk Yedalad, God's going to continue now his promise to Yaakov, but notice how the words that he's using is going to remind us of one very specific blessing that God gave Avram Avinu in Beit El after Lot had departed from him. Let's read Pasuk Yedalad, and we're going to compare it back to Perek Yud Gimel. Vayazarecha kafa aretz. Your offspring will be like the dust of the earth. Uforatzta yama v'kedma v'tzafona v'negba. Your offspring are going to spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. V'nivruchu v'cha kol mishpot hadama uvezarecha. And through you, God will bring blessing to all the nations of the land, not only through you, but also through your offspring. That blessing, if you go back to chapter 13, is almost identical, both in concept and also in key phrases, to what God tells Avram Avinu after Lot left him in verse 14 in chapter 13, in Pasuk Yedalad, Vashem Amar al Avram, God had told Avram, Achrei Parei Lot Mimo, after Lot had left him, Sanai Nechure, lift up your eyes and look at the land, Min HaMakom Asher Tasham, from this place where you're at, Tzafona V'negva V'kedma V'yema. Again, we have the word Makom, like by us, but the most important part here is that we have these four directions, north and south, east and west, and that's unique to this blessing, and the blessing now in Parshat Vayetze. And then God, to Avram Avinu, repeats the key phrase that he repeats all the time to our forefathers. Ki et kol ha'aretz asher ata ro'eh lecha etnena, this land that you see, I'm giving to you, u'zarecha ad olam, and for your offspring forever. V'samti et zarecha kafa ha'aretz, I'm going to make your offspring like the dust of the earth, just like again we saw by Yaakov Avinu in the beginning of Parshat Vayetze. So let's summarize all these parallels. We have afar ha'aretz, we have the promise of the land, we have the four directions, we have the word makom, and the main thing we have here is a reassurance at a time period when one of our forefathers was worried that God was no longer with him. God reassures Avram Avinu after Lot left him, and God's going to reassure now Yaakov Avinu even though he's running away from the land of Israel and being chased by his brother Esav. The unique use of this phrase, Afar Haaretz, both in Beit El, in the story of Avram Avinu, after Lot leaves, and here in Yaakov's dream, in the beginning of Parshat Vayetze, at the site that later is going to be called Beit El, and according to Chazal, the place of the Beit HaMikdash, can explain a beautiful midrash that the place that the Mizbeach, where the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built, is the same place where Adam HaRishon was first created, Afar Min Adama. Recall in the beginning of chapter 2 of Bereshit, when God creates man, God takes Afar Min Adama and uses that Afar to create man. When Chazal identified that this is the same site where later the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built, that man was created from the place of his kapara, the place where later he will receive atonement, that's the place of his creation, I'd like to suggest that the source of that midrash is based on the use of the word Afar in the story of creation, and the use of the word Afar Haaretz, both in the promise of Hashem to Avram Avinu in Perek Yud Gimel, and the repetition of the same phrase and these same concepts in the beginning of Parshat Vayetze, when Yaakov has his dream and discusses for the first time the topic of building a house for God. Notice as well, back in Perek Yud Gimel, that in the beginning of the chapter, when Avram returned from Mitzrayim, he returns to Beit El, the place of his Mizbech that he built originally when he first came to Israel, that we saw in Perek Yud Bet Pasach Het in Bereshit, and there again in Pasach Dalet, Avram built this Mizbech and called out in God's name, just like Yitzchak did in Beersheba. But for some reason, Chumash already refers to this site as Beit El, even though Avram Avinu never called it Beit El. The name of this site, being Beit El, only takes place now in Parshat Vayetze. But because Chumash was written later on, in the time when Chumash was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, in order to inform us that the site where Yaakov has his dream and makes his neder to build a Beit Elohim is the same site that Avram built his Mizbech and called out in God's name, Chumash accomplishes that by calling that site Beit El already in the time of Avram Avinu, even though it wasn't named until the time of Yaakov. Up until now, in Parshat Vayetze, everything that God had told Yaakov was very similar to what he told his forefathers, both Abraham and Yitzchak. Now Yaakov is going to receive a very special promise from God, unlike anything God had told Avram or Yitzchak. Pasuk Tedvav. V'nei anochi imach, I'm going to be with you. U'shmarticha b'chol asher telech, I'm going to guard you wherever you go and take care of you. V'ashivoticha el ha'adama zot, I'm going to bring you back to this land. Ki lo ezavcha, I'm not going to abandon you. Ad asher asiti et asher dibarti lach, until I fulfill what I said about you. This promise is unique to Yaakov for a very simple reason. Unlike the forefathers, Yaakov is now running away from the land of Israel. Anyone who had left the land of Israel up until now, or was sent away from the land of Israel, that was a sign of his being unchosen. Even though Yaakov is leaving, and Esav remains, and Yitzchak remains, the Shekhinah is going to follow Yaakov into Chutz Laretz. On his journey to Aram, God will be with Yaakov, and the central story of the book of Bereshit is now going to leave the land of Israel, and go into exile, and follow Yaakov to make sure that he has children, he survives Lavan, and he's going to return, even though it will take 20 years, back to the land of Israel. This promise that God tells Yaakov, I'm going to be with you and take care of you on your journey, not only reassures Yaakov that he indeed is the chosen son, even though he's leaving, it's also going to be the background to the vow he's going to make several psukim from now. That's the end of Yaakov's dream, and now we're going to see his reaction in Pasuk Tetzayin. Vaikatz Yaakov Mishnato, Yaakov wakes up from his sleep, Vayomer, and he says, Achein yesh Adonai b'makom hazeh. Indeed, God is found in this place. See again the word makom. God's presence is in this special place. V'onochi lo yadati. Nonetheless, I had no idea. Yaakov is startled by the fact that God appeared to him, and he had no idea that this was a special place to God. Vayira v'yomar, he became fearful, and he said, Ma nora ha-makom hazeh. How awesome and fearful is this place. Notice again the word makom being repeated over and over again. Ein ze kim beit Elohim. This site is none else than the house of God. V'ze shara shamayim. And this is the gate to heaven. Yaakov's reaction to this dream is not only startlement and bewilderment about how amazing this place is and how full of awe it is, but also it includes a realization that this is the beit Elohim, this is a house for God, and it's also the gate to heaven. It makes sense that Yaakov realizes that this is the gate to heaven, because that is exactly what he saw in his dream. He saw a ladder with malachim, with angels going up and down. If he sees angels going up and down, this site must be the gate of heaven. However, what is it in his dream that makes him realize that this is a house for God? What I'd like to explain, based on what we're going to see in the next several psukim, is that Yaakov does not see in his dream a house for God. The only thing that Yaakov sees in his dream are these angels of God going up and down, and he realizes that this place is the gate to heaven. He doesn't see a house for God, rather he says quite the opposite. He says, this place is worthy to become a place for God. He doesn't have a vision where he sees the house of God in this place, but rather because of his vision, he reaches a resolution that this is the best place where he should build a house for God. If this interpretation is correct, then this will explain everything that happens now in the next five psukim when Yaakov makes his vow. Let's read now from Pasuk Yudchet, and let's see now what Yaakov does when he gets up in the morning before he continues on his journey to Haran. Vayashkem Yaakov baboker, Yaakov gets up now early in the morning. Vaykach et ha'even asher sam mirashotav, he takes the stone or the rock that he had put underneath his head. Vayasem otam atzeva, and now he erects that stone and turns it into a monument. He's not going to use this stone to build a mizbeach for God. Why he doesn't build a mizbeach like his forefathers, we'll explain very soon. Rather, he erects a monument. Vayitzok shemen arosha, and he pours oil onto it. In other words, he's going to anoint this rock or this monument to make sure that he knows where to come back to when he returns to the land of Israel after his long stay in Haran. Why does he put oil? Oil doesn't evaporate like water. He wants to make sure that he knows exactly where this site is, and in a rather symbolic manner, he's going to lay the foundation stone for what later will become the Beit HaMikdash. Vayikrat shem ha-makom ahu Beit El, then he calls the name of this place Beit El, v'ulam lu shem ha'er l'rishona, even though the name of the site, the name of the city, in the beginning, was called Luz. What gives Yaakov the right to name cities in the land of Israel? Yaakov is not naming the city, he's naming the site, once again, Vayikrat shem ha-makom ahu, we have the word makom, Beit El, he's not naming the city, again he's stating his resolution that at this site he's going to build a house for God. Beit El means a house of God. In other words, this site where he erects the monument, takes a stone and puts oil on it. After anointing the rock, he says, this site is going to become a house for God, stating his resolution that when he returns, he wants to build a house for God on the site where God appeared to him, because he sees this site is worthy of becoming a house for God. Vaydar Yaakov neder lemor. Yaakov now makes a vow saying, Im ye Elohim imadi, if God would be with me, Ushmarani bader chazer asher nochi holech, and will guard me on this journey that I'm now embarking on, v'natan li lechem lechol beke lebosh, and he'll give me food to eat and clothing to wear. In a minute we're going to see what promise he'll make, but let's first look at this condition before he makes his promise. If you compare this pasuk, verse 20, to back to pasuk tedva, back to verse 15, you can see a very obvious parallel between God's promise to Yaakov that he's going to take care of him on his journey and Yaakov's introduction or condition for his promise to build a house for God. God told Yaakov Avinu in Pasuk Tevav, Hinei Anochi Imach, and Yaakov now says, Im Ye Elohim Imadi. God told him, Ushmarticha B'chol Asher Telech, and Yaakov now says, Ushmarani B'derech Hazeh Asher Anochi Holech. As Rashi points out, V'natan Li Lechem Lechol Beged Lobosh is parallel Kilo Azavcha. God said, I won't forsake you, I won't abandon you, which Yaakov translates into the fact that God will give him food and clothing. In other words, that he won't starve or freeze on his long journey to Haran. Recall that Yaakov seems to have left empty-handed and pretty much penniless, because when he gets to Lavan, he has nothing with him to give as a present. So when you first read this pasuk, it sounds like Yaakov is doubting God's promise. God said he will do this for Yaakov. And Yaakov now seems to be doubting and saying, only if God does this for me, then I'll come and do something for him. However, the word im not only means if, but can also mean when. I think the simplest explanation of this pasuk is not that Yaakov is doubting God, but rather he's stating his hope that indeed God will do this for him, and when God takes care of him and brings him back to this place, then he'll be able to fulfill his neder, to fulfill his vow, to build a house for God. Before we read what Yaakov's actual promise is going to be, we should also explain why is it that Yaakov doesn't do what his forefathers did. Avram and Yitzchak at the same site built a mizbeach, built an altar for God and called out in God's name. You'd expect that Yaakov Avinu would do exactly the same. However, that's exactly what's happening now. Yaakov is unable to do what Avram and Yitzchak did because he's a fugitive. Because he's running away, and it's unfortunate, Esav, his brother, wants to kill him. On top of that, Yaakov has not made a name for himself yet. No one looks up to him. Yitzchak had elevated himself to a position where Avi Melech and Fichol and all of his neighbors looked up to him and wanted to make a treaty with him. We saw the same thing by Avram Avinu. Now Yaakov finds himself in quite an opposite position. Instead of being the center of attention and the person able to make a name for God, Yaakov cannot accomplish anything that his father or grandfather was able to do. From that perspective, Yaakov is very depressed. Because he's leaving the land and because he's a fugitive, he can't fulfill the goal of his forefathers. It's exactly that background that will explain Yaakov's vow that he makes now in Betel. Even though he can't fulfill this at this time, even though right now he can't do what his forefathers have done, the goal of his life is to return to be able to do that. And therefore he says, right now, I can't fulfill this goal of making a name for God. However, if and when God indeed takes care of me and brings me back here and gives me food to eat and clothing to wear, keep his promise to give me children and become this nation, then when I come back, I'm going to do not only what my forefathers did, but even more than that, I'm not only going to build a mizbeach to make a name for God, I'm going to build a more permanent house for God, a Beit Elohim. Let's see that now in the next two psukim. In regard to Pasuk Chaf Aleph, there's a beautiful argument among the commentators. Is this still part of the condition, or is this already the vow? Pasuk Chaf, verse 20, are no doubt conditions that Yaakov is saying before he makes his vow, if and when God takes care of me and guards me on my journey. So in that context, it seems that the first phrase of Chaf Aleph is still a continuation of that condition. V'shavti b'shalom b'beit avi is parallel to what God told Yaakov Avinu back in Tetvav, v'ashivoticha el adama azot. God promised, I'm going to bring you back to this land. And therefore, Yaakov says, when God brings me back in peace to the house of my father. The next phrase though, v'ya Adonai li l'Elohim, Hashem will be for me a God. It's not clear whether this is still the condition before the vow, or is this already the beginning of the vow itself. We see an argument in this regard in the commentators. Rashi understands that this is still part of the condition. In Rashi's explanation, he also alludes to the fact that Yaakov Avinu is planning to come back from his journey with children and a family. Rashbam also explains that this is part of the condition that God will be with me, v'yasham li l'Elokim, that he'll take care of me. Ramban, however, disagrees and said this is not part of the condition, but this is already part of his promise, that if God takes care of me and brings me back to the land, then Hashem will be my God. In other words, Yaakov makes a promise that I'm going to work for him, I'm going to serve him in this temple that I'm going to build, as he's going to explain in the next pasuk. V'yashem li l'Elokim, God will be my boss, and I'm going to work for him. Pasuk Chabed, however, is undoubtedly the main part of Yaakov's promise, so let's read it carefully. V'evan azot asher samti matzeva, this stone, which I now just erected as a monument, yeh beit Elohim, that's going to be a house for God. Yaakov is not making a prediction, but rather he's making a promise, a resolution, that when I come back, this rock is going to be the cornerstone of a building which is going to serve as a house for God. V'chol asher titen li, everything that God will give me upon my journey, all the wealth that I amass, aser asvenu lach, I'm going to tithe it and give a tenth to God. In other words, if we follow Ramban's direction, what Yaakov is saying is, when I come back, I'm not only going to build a house for God, I'm going to financially support this house for God, and I'm also going to be the servant of God, I'm going to serve him in this house, I'm going to build him this house, and I'm also going to support this house financially to make sure it has all the funding that it needs. As anyone knows, if you want to build a shul, you need a rabbi, you need a building, and you need a budget. Here in Yaakov's Neder, he's pledging to become the rabbi, v'yasham li l'Elokim. He's agreeing to be in charge of the building committee. V'evan azot asher samti matzeva yeh beit Elohim. He's going to build this house for God. He's also going to take care of the financing. V'chol asher titen li aser aseru lach, he's going to give a tithe or a tenth of his income to support this building. And here we see that the main point of Yaakov's vow, or his resolution, is that even though he's running away now and leaving the land of Israel and can fulfill what his forefathers did, upon his return, the first thing that he wants to do is do the same thing his forefathers did, and maybe even more, by establishing a permanent house for God, which will make his name known to all the nations around. This dream that Yaakov has will later become the foundation of the very concept of the Beit HaMikdash that develops in the book of Sefer Dvarim, and later is actually fulfilled in the book of Sefer Melachim. Why Yaakov Avinu doesn't accomplish that goal and remains unfulfilled, we'll see as we continue our study of Parshat Vayetzeh.